familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
A mother's breastfeeding experience changes drastically over time, starting with her child's birth throughout the months of her baby's life. I'm so excited today because we are launching a brand new series called Breastfeeding Expectations. Over the next 12 months, we will be following three new mothers along their breastfeeding journeys, learning how they cope with breastfeeding challenges and settle into a breastfeeding rhythm with their babies. This is The Boob Group, Episode 11.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also a certified lactation consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. At The Boob Group, we're your online support group for all things related to breastfeeding. Do you have an idea for a topic or an upcoming episode? Just visit our website at theboobgroup.com and send us your suggestion through the contact link. Or you can even call The Boob Group hotline at 619-866-4775. Now it's time for me to introduce our lovely new moms who we will be following for the next 12 months. Ladies, will you introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Annie Hall. I am 36. I am an architect and I have one child. She is 5 weeks old.
I am Jennifer Oliver. I am 33 and I work in arts education administration. I have one daughter who is 2.5 and I have a new son who is 12 days old.
Hi, I'm Cherry Christensen. I'm 31 and I work in consumer research. I have a brand new daughter who is 10 days old today.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Let's kick off today's episode with some unbelievable breastfeeding stories making the headlines around the internet. All of these stories are posted on the Boob Group Pinterest board if you want to check them out. So a couple days ago, the Supreme Court decided to uphold the health care law that was passed actually last year, and what it's called is the Affordable Care Act. And we're just wondering what your opinion was on this, and I'll tell you what this act says. Essentially, it's going to provide break time for nursing moms when they are at work, obviously, and preventative services. This one's my favorite. Preventative services required for health plan coverage care, essentially. So that means that if you have a breastfeeding challenge, this preventative service or way to help you should be covered by your insurance company. And so for all of those ladies who need to see a lactation consultant, either in the hospital, when they get out, go to a clinic, they're asking that your insurance company, as of August 1st, decides to cover that. So What do you guys think about that?
I think that's outstanding. I was actually calling my insurance company the other day to tell them about my baby being born and add them on. And I had a couple of questions that were related to, you know, any challenges relating to breastfeeding. And the woman on the phone was pretty rude to me and made it very clear that nothing related to lactation consultants or anything breastfeeding related would be covered because it's not deemed as a medical necessity, I think was the way that they phrased that. And I was horrified by that. And I just got off the phone and I was so angry. And my husband, what's wrong? And I couldn't believe that, you know, to me, it just all seemed like politics. So to hear something like that, I think is fantastic because I feel like that's the way that it should be and not the experience that I had when I called them to ask them some questions about my coverage.
Absolutely. What do you think, Annie?
Well, to hear that and to hear that it's not a medical necessity, this is how the children sustain life. So how is that? That doesn't make any sense to me. So yeah, I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome. And for the many women that have so many issues and that need the support. I mean, I was speaking to you before I even had the baby. So I just think it's absolutely necessary to be covered.
Absolutely. How about you, Jen?
Yeah, and I know with my daughter, when she was first born, I think I had a couple breakdowns and I made Robin come over thinking I didn't know how to do this, and I felt so helpless and hopeless. And it was the consultation that really helped me through it. Mm-hmm. So I think that in hindsight, I don't think my healthcare coverage covered it, but I wonder if it did cover it, if I would have been able to access more services.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, ladies. Well, thank you for sharing your opinion on that.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So today on The Boob Group, we are discussing what Annie, Jen, and Cherry's breastfeeding experiences have been like during their baby's first year of life. So ladies, I know that you all had very different birth experiences, and since a mother's labor and birth have such an impact on those first few days and sometimes the first few weeks of breastfeeding, do you mind sharing a little bit about your birth story, please? So Jen, you want to tell us a little bit about yours?
Yeah, sure. So this birth was very different than my daughter. My son was 3 days over my due date, maybe 4 days over my due date, and I labored through the day, and it seemed really tolerable. And I remembered with my first that as soon as the labor became not tolerable, that I knew to go to the hospital. So I kept waiting at home and waiting and waiting, thinking I'll know when it's time. And then I laid down with my daughter and my water broke and I gushed all over the couch and I ran to the bathroom and I gushed on the way to the bathroom and threw a towel in between my legs and looked at my husband and said, pack up the child. It's time. It's time. And we went into the hospital, and actually I was feeling pretty good about myself. I was thinking I was like She-Ra walking in. I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. This is going to be awesome. I'm so tough. And I walked in and they put me in a room right away, and the grandparents came and picked up my daughter. And then it just, like a tidal wave, it just hit me. I had contraction after contraction and they were so intense. And I'm pretty sure I almost threw up. I almost passed out. And then finally somebody grabbed me, put me on the bed, and I said, just give me an epidural. And I laughed at myself and I said, I swear I felt like She-Ra, but now I feel like Minnie Mouse. So then I arrived at the hospital about 9 p.m. and my son was born at 1 a.m. So it was a really quick labor, about an hour and a half in, I actually had to get a shot to slow down the labor because my son's heart rate started to decrease, and the doctors felt like it was too much for him, and so even with that, he was born very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing. Cherry, do you want to share your experience a little bit?
Sure. This being my first pregnancy, I really had no idea what to expect. And so in retrospect, I realized that I was in labor a lot longer than I thought I was. And, I woke up the day before my daughter was born with incredible backache, and it felt like the worst menstrual cramps I've ever had in my life. And I was like, Is that something? And I'd been going through a couple of days of every time I felt something new, going like, is this it? Just really being on edge. But I hadn't gotten to my due date yet, and everyone had convinced me that I was definitely going to go late. And so mentally, I had prepared to go, 42 weeks. And so I was only 39 plus 4 at the time, I think. And, we just kept waiting and waiting for, the labor to actually start, waiting to experience the contractions when I realized I was actually having them and didn't realize. And so I held out for as long as I possibly could. And from the time that I woke up with that incredible back pain to the time that I actually called my midwife was about 25 hours. And it wasn't that intense, that whole 25 hours, I would say, of the, I'd say really the last 7 or 8 hours, but the whole time I just kept thinking, like, I don't want to call her and wake her in the middle of the night, even though that's what she's there for. I had kind of decided that by 8 or 9, if it looked like something was happening, would give her a call so that she didn't hear from us for the first time at 2 in the morning, but it didn't seem that bad then. So anyway, we called her at about 6 o'clock the following morning. And she ended up coming over. I didn't go to the hospital. I actually had the baby at home. And she ended up coming over around 12:30. And she kept checking in and kept asking if I wanted her to come. And I kept saying, no, I'm fine. And then I'd have a really, really, tough contraction and say, I need her. And afterwards, my husband would say, okay, I'm going to call her. And I'm like, no, don't call her. I'm fine. But she ended up coming over about 12:30, and my daughter was born at 4:23. So she was actually only there for 4 hours. So similar to you, your time in the hospital was like my time with my midwife. But it was the most intense experience of my life. There was no option to yell out for an epidural at that point. Although I thought about it, I suddenly had this whole new empathy for why women get an epidural, because lying there, and it was just so much worse than anything I could possibly have imagined. But it was in the grand scheme of things, I think it was exactly the birth that I was hoping and planning for. And, it was wonderful. And I hope to go back and do it all over again soon.
Oh, thank you, Cherry. Annie, you want to share a little bit about yours?
Sure. I went into pre-labor Monday was May 21st, and that was my last day of work, and I worked until 10 o'clock at night, and then I got home and had some dinner, and then I believe I lost my mucus plug and called Robin or Ashley or somebody and said, I think I've lost this gelatinous goodness. And I think it's my mucus plug. And I looked it up in the very wonderful guide. And I was like, okay, so this could last for 2 weeks, or this could be happening right now. And that lasted for 2 days, Monday to Wednesday. And then Wednesday it started to get a little more intense. I didn't realize I would be having pre-labor, so that I would be feeling like I was in labor for a week by the time I finally had her. That was not in my birth plan in my mind to go all natural. That wasn't part of it. So when we went into the hospital on Wednesday, I thought that the pain that I was feeling was, I was far along. I was going to be at least a 6 or a 7. And we got there and I was a 3.5 at 2 in the morning on Thursday. So that was the 24th that was my due date. And we were not far enough along for them to admit us. So we went to Denny's. Robin Kaplan was with us. And she was acting as my personal lactation consultant and friend, and my stepmom and my husband. And we went to Denny's, and I had some oatmeal and ordered it through a contraction or a surge, excuse me. And then we got back, and they let us come in at just a little bit, about 4, and I was dilating very slowly. So I had about 30 hours of active labor from 4 centimeters on. And the experience with the nurses was
I couldn't have asked for better nurses and the experience throughout the day, I don't know what I envisioned it to be. And it was super intense. And the music that we had playing was wonderful. And so for that, that was part of the experience in my head, was that I would have music to take me through. And I had some really special moments with some of the music that was playing that would bring me to tears. And they weren't bad tears. It wasn't because I was feeling so much pain. It was just that it was beautiful to me. But we got to a place where I was at 7.5 centimeters, and I thought I was at 10. I was pushing. I was ready to push, and I was only at 7.5. And so that's when the doctor came in and said, I want you to have a vaginal birth, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is what your option is. And the option was to have an epidural because I was exhausted, and I was at a hospital. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I was going to be at a place where they would slow me down and, you know, sit in a bathtub and all these things that probably would have been, it would have been a little bit different and much longer, but I was done. I was on a schedule in my head that I didn't know I was. And they said epidural, and I said, okay. And then the anesthesiologist came in, and I fell in love. And it was one of the most amazing feelings of my entire life. And then I got to sleep. And so from Wednesday through to Thursday, I finally had her on Friday morning after pushing for 3 hours, which really pushing for 3 hours was nothing compared to where I was before. And we had a baby girl. And
that was a long week.
It was a long week. It was a really, really long week. And I was going to go shopping. I was going to do all these things by myself. And I still haven't gone shopping.
I haven't either. And I was only there for the birth, and I still haven't recovered. All right, ladies. Well, when we come back, we will be discussing what breastfeeding looks like for Annie, Jen, and Cherry with a brand new baby. So we'll be right back. All right, so we're back, and we're discussing with Annie, Jen, and Cherry about their breastfeeding experience with their brand new babies. And so, ladies, we just heard about your birth stories, which is fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'd also just like to ask as well, how did you prepare for breastfeeding before your baby was born? So, Cherry, how about you?
Well, I did a couple of things, but I think by far the two most important and helpful things I did was, one, I actually took Robin's class. That was super, super helpful. I didn't really know much about breastfeeding at all, and it's one of those things where, you know, you see a woman doing it and it looks so simple and so natural and so easy. And I'm sure we're going to talk about the fact that it has not seemed that way at all in the last 10 days. And then the other thing that I actually did that I highly recommended was, while I was pregnant, I actually sought out to try and find as many people to build like a support network as possible in advance. I went to a La Leche League meeting while I was pregnant. I tried to find other moms that had, I found more moms who had struggled than moms who had been successful. So I tried to stay away from the ones that had struggled too much. Not stay away from them, but not let their negativity sort of get to me, and rather try and seek out people who had positive experiences, so that I would have a bunch of numbers on speed dial that I could call in the first 24 hours. And I did need to do that. And Robin was one of the people that I called. So those two things were very, very helpful for me beforehand.
Fantastic. How about you, Annie?
I sought out you. Well, no, I went to your class. But before I went to your class, I even just talked to you about some of the fears that I had and had you look at my breasts because you just live a block away. But I thought that one of my nipples was inverted or was going to be, and I just had that fear. And you said, well, we'll figure it out. It's okay. We're going to work it out. And that was, I think, one of the biggest things for me was hearing and constantly having that reiterated through the course of taking your class and talking with you, that it will figure it out. There's steps. So I just let it go. I let everything else go. I was working. I was doing all these things that I couldn't let go. And so I just let that part go. So that was actually a big help for me.
Oh, it's nice to know. Thank you. Jen, how about you?
So I feel like the underachiever because I didn't prepare.
Well, this is also your second.
This is my second.
Yes, that's a huge difference.
And I don't know if I necessarily prepared for the first one. I did have a couple books that I read. And so I felt like I kind of had a little bit of an understanding. I also had a doula with my first birth. And so she had walked me through a few tips as far as how to start. But with this one, I didn't prepare at all. I just crossed my fingers and hoped that it would be easier this time. And then I was not surprised, but a little disappointed when I found out actually it's it starts off just as hard. Yeah. And so that was really my preparation, was really thinking back through my experience with my daughter and how I had solved some of the challenges and also some of the challenges that I didn't solve and had to kind of just grin and bear it and make it through it. And somehow I managed to feed her for 17 months. So it ended up working out and being really successful. But there was a lot of work at the front.
Absolutely. So how often is your baby breastfeeding right now, ladies? Are you feeling like you're kind of like a 24-hour drive-through? Or has your baby started to get on a little bit of a pattern? What is it looking like? Annie, you have the oldest baby here at almost so 5 weeks. So
she's 5 weeks, yeah. And I feel like we're at a pattern right when she's going to get to her 6 weeks. Or growth 7 week growth spurt, and she's going to lose her pattern.
Temporarily.
Yeah. She's feeding about 6 times a day, so 2 to 3 hours, somewhere in there. So it's, sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 2.5, sometimes it's 3. And then actually from, which I'm surprised about, she's sleeping from like 8 o'clock till about 4:30. Or 9 o'clock, somewhere in there till 4:30. So that midnight, 1 o'clock feeding, she just, this week, she's sort of just stopped, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So that feels normal. Finally this week, I feel like there's this new normal that I've reached and this is okay. But I've never been so, regulated by time.
Yeah.
And, looking at the time and asking my husband what time it is. And I'm thinking, okay, I have an hour, and he has no idea. Like, he just doesn't, but that's okay. He's not, you know, putting out his boob to feed a child. So
exactly. Yeah. How about you, Jen? What's your schedule looking like? How often's your baby feeding?
He's really a cluster feeder. So okay. He sort of feeds a lot for about 30, 45 minutes. And then he'll stop, and then he'll come back on the boob again, like maybe 15 minutes later, and feed again. And then again stop, and then probably about 3 times he'll feed that way, and then he'll be done for like 2 hours. And usually he conks out, which is an experience for me because my first never, I swear she never slept. So he sleeps a lot. He'll sort of just conk out for a couple hours, and then he'll wake up and then want to do it all over again. So he seems to feed in chunks. I would say probably around 5 or 6 times a day. And then through the nighttime, he feeds 3 times through the night, which is also seems like a luxury. He really sleeps for a good 2-3 hours, and then he wakes up, he feeds, and he goes right back down to sleep, which seems really,
very
really nice.
At 12 days?
Yes.
Nice job.
Yes.
He's a second baby, too, so sometimes they're a little bit more flexible and relaxed.
That's what we're hoping
for. How about you, Cherry?
Gosh, I'm thinking about the answer to this question, and I'm like, do I know the answer to this question? You know, one of the things that I loved during my labor was that I had no clocks, no watches. We turned the phone off, everything like that. And you know, you're talking about the time. I still don't have a watch, and so it's still – I'm like constantly, what's the time? What's the time? And I hate having to constantly be aware of that. One of the things that I did was I tried to track the feedings, and I realized it was driving me a little bit nuts by doing that. And so now what I do is I got this little bracelet that someone gave me it has different times on it. And all I do is I track when was the last time that I fed her, and I put it on my left wrist for if it was the left boob, and I put it on the right wrist if it was the right boob. And then that's the only thing I have to think about. So I can look and see. I don't have to worry how many times was it. I just look and see, okay, it was 11. Now, it only works if you actually update it the last time, and I know I didn't feed at 11 o'clock on the left last. But I think overall, I would say it's probably about every 2 to 3 hours, probably more like every 2, but she's super, super sleepy. And it's really difficult to wake her up. She doesn't really wake up on her own, and so I'm constantly having to wake her. And then she doesn't nurse for very long. So it's not that she's doing, you know, you kind of spoke about the clusters, Jen, and the 30, 45 minutes. We've had like 3 45-minute feeds in the last 10 days, and most of the time it's usually like 5, 10, 15 minutes if I'm lucky, and then she just passes out. And so an hour later, if she wakes up for some reason and she wants to nurse again, I'm like, go for it, you know, because I feel like I'd rather that she was there every single hour and then I know she's nursing than just be, you know, rather letting her sleep or something like that. So I'm hoping things will get better, and we're going to weigh her today, and we'll see
how
the system's been working for the last 6 days.
So. Awesome. And what type of support have you needed from your partner in all of this? Have you found that it was different those first couple days that it is now? Or for those of you who are just kind of still in those first couple days, what have you needed him for?
Everything. Yeah. Everything. You know, we kind of set up a system and, you know, I'm 100% responsible for feeding our baby. And so he's now 100% responsible for feeding me. And that's kind of the way that things have been working. And yeah, it's pretty awesome. And I think it's as hard as it is for him. I think it's easier for him to feed me than it is for me to feed the baby. So
you're a much more willing participant sometimes.
Yes. And it's been hard because I spent the first, you know, she's only 10 days old, but I spent the first couple of days like apologizing to him every 2 minutes because I'd sit down. One of the things I've been struggling with a lot is just really getting comfortable. I was just so focused on her nursing and that she'd be in a position and my back would be killing me. And I'm like, I'll just sit here in pain for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I'd sit down somewhere and realize that I don't have anything. I don't have my phone. I don't know what the time is. So I'd call him and say, can you bring me my phone? And he'd bring me my phone and leave. And I'd suddenly look around and I don't have water. Nick, can you bring me water? And I'd call it. So I feel like I'm constantly, you know, like he's like my butler on demand. And so I was constantly apologizing. And then, you know, I soon realized that what I'm doing is taking a lot more work and a lot more effort. And so we've been working together really nicely, but I couldn't do it without him. I really, if I didn't have him there helping me and feeding me and telling me what the time was, I think I'd be going a little crazy. And I'm still going a little crazy. But.
Those hormones of pregnancy and labor and everything are still kind of feeding into that too.
So. Very much so.
So Annie, you're sitting over here shaking your head.
Yeah,
same thing?
Hormones are awesome. I don't really consider myself a really crazy person, but I'm crazy.
Just temporarily.
Temporarily.
Yeah. But you were shaking your head about the partner support as well.
Oh, yeah. Jesse actually helped when we were in the hospital. He helped with the sandwich, the boob sandwich, because it was so awkward for me to hold her, and she's sort of squirmy, and she's just so little. And so he helped squeeze when we were in the hospital. And then one of our night nurse actually showed me a little bit more of how to do it, too. So we were just working together with her. And then since we've been home, it's the same thing. I would sit down and I wouldn't have anything next to me. So I'd be like, honey, can you get me my phone? And he got mad at me. And he's like, why don't you just get all this beforehand? And I looked at him like,
impossible.
I don't know. Because I can't.
I remember in the class, Robin, you said, have your little basket and have everything that you could possibly need
that.
In there.
It I doesn't. Had that.
It's such a nice idea in theory, but when you're constantly feeding in a different place or, you know.
And I'm not a consistent person, so this is really hard. So now I'm getting better because now it's been 5 weeks, but I really like that idea of him feeding you. So I'm going home with that lesson because I really need him to do some more things than just play on his new iPhone.
Yeah.
He's not going to listen to this show, right? Okay.
It's going to be on iTunes, but we won't tell. And on our website, and on my website, pretty much everywhere.
That's all right. He can
Facebook.
Take it. He can take it.
Exactly. How about you, Jen?
Oh, my goodness. It's so...
And with two as well.
Yeah,
is it different?
It is. It's so different. The first time I felt like, gosh, you know, I felt bad at the beginning asking him for so much, but then I felt angry because I felt like, why does he have to roll his eyes? I just need water. Like, I am feeding your child right now. You can get me some water. So I remember I went through this sort of transition of first feeling guilty and then feeling angry and then having to work through that. And it's really hard, I feel like, for my husband to really understand how much work. I think at the beginning he got it. Because he saw the labor and he saw my struggles with breastfeeding. But then it sort of faded away. And it didn't actually get any easier right away. He just kind of lost that newness of it. Yeah. And sort of wanted to not have to wait on me anymore, which I didn't really feel like was that much effort. with the second one, though, it's different because I just need him to entertain my 2.5-year-old. So unfortunately and fortunately, I have a few more skills so I can walk around holding my baby as he's breastfeeding to go get some water, etc. So I feel a little bit more on my own. he's much better this time. He's sort of accustomed to the needs and also how much work that that I'm putting into this. But I definitely feel like I have to kind of really maneuver more without him, because I really need him to keep. And my daughter is she's amazing, but she has a lot of energy, and I want her to feel like we're still there for her, and that this new baby is not taking away time from her. It's adding something new to the family that's great, and that's something that she's going to look forward to. So it's really tricky, that balance of, you know, making her feel like we're still here for you, there's still time for you. When you call our name, we're still going to look at you and help you out with whatever it is that you need. But at the same time, I'm also breastfeeding Bryson.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a challenge, and I'm really looking to him. Unfortunately, he only took off work for about a week. He went back to work a couple days last week, and then he'll start going back to work full time again this week. So I, you know, I have a lot less time with him, which is really unfortunate. But I think that I have a great family network, so I'm kind of depending on mother-in-laws and mothers to come over and help for the next couple weeks, because, again, my baby's only 12 days old. So,
absolutely. All right. Well, before we wrap up, can you all give us one piece of advice that you would give to a pregnant mom to kind of help her through maybe these first couple weeks that we've been talking about? Because there's obviously lots of bad advice, so maybe some positive advice that you've seen just in your experience in the past month.
It's always funny when people ask for advice. I really hate to give advice. I just don't feel like advice is actually really helpful. But I like to talk from my experience. And my experience is just, you know, it was really tough for me. It was really hard. And I cried and I broke down, and I called a lactation consultant, which was Robin. And I reached out as much as possible. And that was really helpful. Reaching out, talking about it, asking how other people were experiencing their challenges with breastfeeding, and just knowing that our bodies are made to do this. And that's what I had to keep telling myself. My body is made to do this. So this is tough, but it works. It has to work. Otherwise we wouldn't be here, on this planet. So I just kept telling myself that and reaching out, and eventually it got really easy. In fact, when my daughter was, it actually makes me a little tearful. I hated to stop. It was such a precious moment that I had with my daughter, and it was so easy, and it was, I can't even imagine having to use formula. I mean, honestly, it's free. My body just makes it. And at any moment, if she felt uncomfortable, or if she, my daughter is very sensitive to new situations, so if she started to get scared, I could stick her on my boob, and she felt so comforted. And it was just such a special thing that only I could provide for her. So I was really sad to let it go. So I think that if you can stick with it, reach out for help, that it's worth it.
Cool. Thanks, Jen. How about you, Cherry?
Well, I was going to say something very similar. Obviously, I don't have the experience of another child, but I think reaching out for help and having that support network, I think, was very, very helpful. But then the one caveat to that I would say is that it got to be a little bit overwhelming, because I found that I was trying to be very proactive about reaching out to people, and I was getting so much conflicting advice.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember from the class, you know, to try and aim for about 8 times a day. And I went to go visit the pediatrician, and I spoke to a lactation educator in the building, and she said, oh, 8 times. No, you need to be doing 10 times. And then someone else said something else. And someone said, oh, you have to make sure that you cover both boobs in each feeding. And then someone else said, don't worry about that, just do one. And it actually got to a point where I was reaching out for this help, and I was getting so much conflicting advice that it actually just became overwhelming. And so on the one hand, I think have a support network and have people who are there to help you and support you. But at the same time, I think even though I don't know what I'm doing, and I have a 10-day-old baby, and everything is so overwhelming, I kind of got to this point where I just felt like I just had to trust my instincts a little bit and just feel like, you know what, if it's been you know, an hour and she wants to nurse, then great. And if it's been 4 hours and she looks fine and she's sleeping, I'm not quite comfortable with that yet. I still kind of feel like I want to wake her. But for the most part, I'm trying just to just relax more, because I found that the more anxious and the more overwhelmed I got, the harder and the more stressful it was. And the only thing that really helped was just to kind of trust in myself. And like Jen said, know that this is what I'm supposed to do. My body is supposed to do this, and trust in the process a little bit more.
Great, great. Okay, how about you, Annie?
I think that the first few weeks are the hardest. You're balancing your hormones, you're healing, and you're supposed to be breastfeeding at the same time and learning how to do that. And I remember feeling like, how do you do that? I can't do this. all three of these things at the same time. So I just thought that was just such a cosmic joke. but I have an incredible support group with my family. I had family in town, and then I have my lactation consultant, who's a very close friend. So listening to you and listening to the doctor and the family, all three sort of helped balance my crazy. And when the doctor would say one thing, I would bounce that off the lactation consultant and hear what she had to say, and felt comfortable with what her compromise was, because they're coming from like a medical place, and a sort of survival, and the lactation is a little more holistic and a little more trust yourself and from a mom place. And then after getting through those few weeks, I felt that it was incredibly helpful to go to a support class, which I don't know what you call it.
It's a support group.
Support group. Yeah. Where there are a bunch of moms that are all at the same level and stage, and talking through some of the things that I have felt that have been scary for me, like spit up coming up through her nose. They all had some of them had the same experience, and that's normal. So a lot of these things that I have felt that are scary because I've never seen them before, or even if you have seen them before, but you've never seen this child before, they've had the same experiences. So the scary turned into normal. And so I've felt a lot more comfortable and a lot less scared over the last few weeks. So that transition has happened. And I'm sure I'm going to get scared about something else again too. But I would say that all three of us have said that find some kind of support. That would be my advice.
Cool. All right, ladies. Well, I'm so excited that we'll be hanging out together every month as we chronicle your breastfeeding journey with your little ones. So thank you so much for your insight into breastfeeding during the first month of your baby's life. And I really look forward to continuing this conversation in the upcoming months. So thank you so much. Before we end our show, here's a question for one of our show's experts.
Hi, Boob Group. My name is Kim. I'm from Northern California. I just listened to your episode about breastfeeding and acupuncturist, and my question is for Jamie Boyd, the acupuncturist. Jamie, I have an oversupply, and I feel like I'm constantly drowning a little guy whenever we're breastfeeding. Is this something that acupuncture could help with? I'm afraid to do anything that's going to drastically decrease my supply since I plan to go back to work in about a month. I just want to help my son feed more comfortably and help reduce some of his gas pain. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jamie Boyd, licensed acupuncturist with Whole Family Acupuncture in San Diego, California. And I am returning the call from Kim from Northern California, who had asked me about the oversupply of breast milk for her little baby boy. And she's exactly right in worrying about over-regulating supply, especially if she's going back to work. A lot of times I just try to educate moms about what foods create milk in the body, and maybe even have them reduce their intake of those foods if their supply seems overabundant. So certain galactologues like buckwheat, caraway, rye bread, too many greens, especially barley, wheatgrass, things like that can actually create more milk, and by taking them out of the diet, it can lessen the milk. And then doing positions with baby so that baby doesn't take in too much milk. So like having the mom sort of lie back a little bit so the baby can latch on. In terms of acupuncture, it can regulate milk supply, both good and for both boosting and then reducing supply. However, it depends on how many months postpartum the mom is. At 3 months postpartum and 6 months postpartum, mom's milk always self-regulates again. And a lot of times women who have had a perfectly good supply, their supply will tank at those times. So I always assess that first before I do too much with the acupuncture in terms of turning down milk supply. And then also I treat babies, so I usually do magnets on the baby to help with the digestion. so they aren't too gassy or colicky because of oversupply or having to bulk. So that's all. You can always visit an acupuncturist and give them a call and ask them what sort of protocols they do for milk regulation. But acupuncture should help slightly lessen the supply without totally turning the supply down or off. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you'll visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and our Facebook page to offer your personal stories about breastfeeding your baby during the first month. If you have any questions about today's show or the topics we discussed, please call our Boob Group hotline at 619-866-4775, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. Also, if you're a blogger and want to share your story about breastfeeding your baby during the first month, please email me at robin@theboobgroup.com. Coming up next week, we'll be discussing breastfeeding tips for the working mom. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.